Blog Talk Radio.
To the Son. Hallelujah to the Holy Ghost. For all three, they are one. If God be the glory. And you need to thank him for what he's done. Thank him for what he's doing. And thank him for what he's going to do. What a mighty God we serve. Great and marvelous is our God. Amen. To God be the glory. I am your host tonight, Bishop Thurman. Here on Blog MCI Blog Talk Radio, inviting you once again. Amen. To God be the glory. We appreciate your time and effort coming on the line. Tonight, I'm going to get into the Word of God very briefly here. I am going to do some teaching tonight. I'm going to try my best not to preach. To God be the glory. But Father, we thank you right now. Make teaching easy. Give me every illustration that I need, every analogy, every example. For I need to pour in faith tonight to the listener. So that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. It's not even the title. I'm just going to speak about faith. It's such an important topic. It's so important to the believer. Our very foundation is built on faith. I'm going to approach it from a number of different scriptures tonight. I pray that you have a pen and paper so that you can, if you don't follow along, or if you're new, if you're a babe in Christ, you can write it down. And there's quite self-explanatory when you seek the Lord. He'll give you understanding. We're going to start off tonight in the book of St. John. I want to give honor to the owners, the host of MCI, Blog Radio Talk, Pastor Matthew McNeil, powerful man of God. Pray you didn't miss him last night. He's on Monday night. Praise God. I am on Tuesday night. I want to honor my lovely wife. Oh, what a powerful woman of God that we have for you tomorrow night. Then we have the awesome, anointed Apostle McNeil, Sunday morning. I tell you, Blog Talk is filling up fast with powerful words. So you get off work, or before you lay down at night, glory to God, set an alarm each night and on Sunday mornings to come and be a part of the MCI family. We thank you tonight. We appreciate your time. We're going into the Word of God tonight at the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 6, and verse 44. The very foundation of becoming a Christian. Talking to the babies a lot tonight, but it's going to be encouraging for all of us. See, when you come to God, you have to have a foundation. You have to have a strong starting point. And in order to receive that strong starting point, you have to understand what happens. Even when you come, what happens before you translated out of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son? What made me go to church? Why did I say yes when I was invited? Why did something in my heart and my mind tell me that church or God is the answer? Well, the Gospel of St. John chapter 6 and verse 44 explains it like this. It says, no man, no matter name, status in the community, affiliation, doesn't matter, no man cometh to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. Draw him. I will raise him up in the last day. So God is letting us know it may seem as though we made a decision to come. We may believe that a tragedy caused us to come. Sickness, whatever, triumph caused you to come. But the truth of the matter is no man cometh except the Father draw him. Which brings you to a thought, can he draw me when I'm in sin and my spirit is dead? How can I be drawn? Well, God is a spirit. They that worship him, fellowship with him must do it in spirit and in truth. Spirit man is dead. But the infinite wisdom of God in the creation of a human being, he put something down inside of all of us. It's called the measure of faith. It's not the faith you can live on. It's not the faith you can produce those things that be not as though they were. It's just the measure. Well, what is this measure of faith? If I can use an example, I would say, if you are on an island alone, just say you around no one, no language, no teaching. It's something inside of you, environment, and begin to see what you have authority over. It's already in you. See? You'll see the fish. You know you got authority over. You may not know how to catch them, but you can invent something to show your dominance over it. You see, you might see a deer, and you'll say, yes, I got authority over that deer. See, but it's something inside of you to measure yourself to the universe. Now, if you see a lion, tiger, or bear, something inside of you is going to say, I don't have authority over that. I'm not going to run up on that grizzly bear because I don't have authority. And two, a gun, a bomb. Oh, now, you got your authority back to something that man created. This is how we learn to live. My point being is that something inside of you, a void inside of you, the measure inside of you will cause you to evaluate what's higher. And man will find something to worship. See, the only difference with God, you can't invent nothing. You can't make a bomb, a spaceship, anything that will give you authority over God. Oh, yeah, come on, we learned how to tame these lions, and we learned a lot of good stuff here. Will never have authority over God. This is why measure is there. Sometimes we don't even recognize it. We live a lifetime and never recognize it. But when God calls you, when God wants you, he connects with that measure. And he draws you to him. It's not a place to stay in your faith. He just connects to the measure. So he lets us understand. Now that I'm drawing you, he said, the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Meaning, when he draws you from that measure, now it's time for you to operate. It's time for you to get in a place with him. It's time for you to connect with him. Hebrews 11 and 6 declares, without faith, without this thing that triggers, not only the measure just to get you there, but he lets us know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. God does not mean to make him happy. That please God don't mean to make him start laughing and giggling. The word please there means connect. Without faith, it's impossible to connect with God. Why? Next verse. For he that cometh, he that's drawn, must believe. He must tap into that measure and believe that God is a higher authority. Hallelujah. He's the ultimate authority. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful. He doesn't have to check with anybody to do anything. He's omniscient. So you have to believe that first when he draws you. You have to see him for who he is. It says, for he that cometh to God must first believe that he is. He is what? Whatever you need to begin your walk. A lot of times we take the end of the scripture out of context. He said he's a reward, that he is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is not promising to pay us for seeking him. It's been widely mistaught. But it's in the word, y'all know. Ain't the spirit. He's not saying I'm going to pay you for diligently seeking me. He's saying that diligence is a pursuit of God. A diligence is a hunger for God. Diligence is a made-up mind to build a relationship with God. He's not like a master with a dog biscuit telling the saints of God, roll over and throw you a bone, a biscuit, pray dead. Here's a biscuit. No, he's not rewarding. That's not what he means. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What he's saying, if you begin to recognize he is, and he draws you by faith, and it's the faith that connects you to him, you begin to live a life to stay connected, if I could say. Y'all know my teacher, at your pace, at your life, at your, but you ought to be understanding this thing is by faith. Not by work. That's a whole nother teaching. Can't go there. You gotta, because you're gonna understand tonight, you're gonna know what faith is. You're gonna understand why it may not be operating. Even in the more mature Christian life. I believe God's gonna give me the grace to get always through it. But what I'm saying tonight, child of God, the reward, hallelujah, is in your diligence. It's not a payment. What is diligence? That means you got a prayer life. That means you read your word. See? You may even change your music and start listening to gospel music. That your atmosphere is sanctified. So watch this. In your diligence, in your pursuit, running after God, you'll still be running after him, but you'll be all up in him. Somebody call that. You'll still be running after him. You'll still be yearning for him. You'll still be hungry for him. And in your running for him, he surrounds you. It's not a payment. You're just running into his presence. And you cannot run into the presence of God and not be blessed or not be rewarded. It's not a payment. He's trying to let us understand when you get in God by faith and not by self-righteousness, by deeds, not by religion, not by tradition. How about that? When you get up in God by faith alone, that he is, you can't help but be blessed, child of God. It's all around you. You in his presence. Ain't nothing but blessings there. But that's what he means. He's a rewarder of them that seek him. Stand now. I got to get up in him. you would probably say to yourself, well, I need more than this measure. Because all I had was a measure for him to draw. But now I understand that's what's going to keep me connected. So how do a child move faith? It's not in us. It's not in you. Because the Bible says faith cometh. If it was already in us, it wouldn't have to come. Faith comes. How do faith come to you? By hearing. Not hearing whatever you choose to hear. Not hearing whatever satisfies you. See, sometimes we only want to go and hear what satisfies us. But you're not hearing anything unless it's the word of God, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We know hearing produces faith. Hearing the word of God produces faith. So why don't everybody just have it? Had it. All the sermons we heard, all the scriptures we heard quoted. Oh, God, we done heard so much word. Why don't we have faith? Because Hebrews chapter 2, it warns us, it tells us. It says, therefore, we ought to give the more. See, the more. You have to pursue the God. The more. The more what? Earnest heed. Heed means listening. Sometimes we go to church and we hear the word. But you need to hear it more earnestly. Ah, come on, somebody. It's like the sower that went forth sowed. Some fell on good ground. Some fell on stony ground. Some fell amongst thorns. Some fell by the wayside. Where is the word falling when you hear it? Because that's what's going to produce your faith. That's the ingredient. Oh, we're going to find out what really makes faith work by the end of this teaching, I believe. How about Isaiah? See, it's how you hear the word. How sincere, how about that? How real the word is to you. That's what produces it. If you don't hear it in your heart, if you don't hear it in your soul, it won't produce the faith. So watch. He says, better give them our earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Lest at any time we should let them slip. Let us understand, once you get faith, don't mean it's always operating. I'm not talking to the religious Christians right there. I said your faith is not always operating. It's no need of us trying to act like our faith is always in operation. Amen. It should be. Hallelujah to God. Our faith should be going before us like a shield. But it's very easy to let faith slip. Situations will cause faith to slip. Persecution will cause faith to slip. Cause your faith to slip. You'll reach down in your soul for faith in a situation and pull up fear. It's very possible, hallelujah, for it to slip. That's why he warns us. Give the more earnest heed, meaning that's hold of that thing. I'm going to throw this out there. It's in the Bible that declares, when you let it drop in your spirit, Satan comes immediately to try to take it. Hallelujah. You know why? He knows the importance of that thing dropping in your soul, your spirit, your heart, and your mind. He knows it's going to produce faith. And he cannot touch faith. It's what he operates in. Tears of the devil, the Bible declares, for it has torment. So he can't touch you when you have faith. It doesn't matter what you're going through when you have faith. It doesn't matter how it feels when you have faith. Nothing matters when faith is in operation. Satan himself desired Peter to sift him as wheat. We don't do no home baking too much more, but some of us know what a sifter is. You pour the flour in. Way back, you used to turn the thing. Now you can shake it out. I don't even got to sift no more. But it makes it finer. Glory to God. It takes it from a more solid state into so fine of an element, you can put it in your hand. Watch this, people of God. And blow it into the air. And the air will just eat it up, disintegrate it. It will no longer exist. And that's what the devil himself wanted to do to Peter. He wanted to take away his very existence for being here on earth. He didn't even want his bones to stay. He wanted to grind him into powder and sift him as wheat. Because the anointing that was on him, the faith that was in him. At times, we know, he denied Jesus 3 times, but he had a faith to believe God. He stepped out on the water and he walked faith. Satan was so angry at his faith. He said, I not only want to kill him, that ain't enough. I want to grind his body up like hamburger. And not only that, I want to sift it into powder. Mix him, blow him into the wind. How about Sikaya? And you know what Jesus said? I prayed for you. He said, Satan desired to have you to sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you. And he didn't pray. Learn, be the smartest man on earth. He didn't pray, be the strongest man on earth. He didn't pray, be so holy, sanctified, glory to God, that can never slip. He didn't say that. He told Peter, I prayed for you. That your faith tells you not. And I want to talk to somebody today. You may not be in the best season of your life. You may be in a tight place in your life. You may be going through a struggle in your life. But it's faith that's going to bring you out. Somebody needs to say glory to God. Some things we can never conquer, but your faith can. So how do we get this faith? We get it by hearing. Hearing deeply. I want to just go to Hebrews 4. Yeah, but you want to go to Hebrews 4 and verse 20 and tell you something. You can just write it down. Everybody don't hear the word the same way. Habasika. Everybody don't receive the word the same way. A lot of people are so happy when you preach something that they think is hitting somebody. They stand up, preach, pastor, preach, preach. But when they believe it's hitting, no. They silent as a lamb. Everybody in church got a pitchfork to grab the word and throw it over to somebody. But nobody got a rake. How about the cop to rake it in? You cannot produce faith if you don't take that word so serious and rake it all in. The word may not find you there today. But if you rake it in, glory to God. it might be just what you need for tomorrow. Stop pushing the word away when you believe you conquered an area. Oh, that ain't for me. He ain't preaching me. I ain't there. How about see y'all? Gotta rake everything in, child of God. But as I said, everybody doesn't hear the same way. What? I'm gonna turn over there. I'm quoting a lot, but I'm going to turn over to that scripture. I know over to Hebrews chapter 4, those who turn fast, look at it, because I'm going to get there real fast and keep on going. I know the scripture, so watch what he says. In chapter 4, verse 2, somewhere around there. Once I just start the beginning. Verse 1. Let us therefore fear. Promise. Being left of us. Of entering in. To his rest. Any of you should fall short of. Here's my scripture I'm going to go to. For unto you. Unto me. Unto everyone that God drew. I have their spirit. Same word. People can be right in church with you with the same word of the gospel preached. But watch what he says. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But should produce the same thing, correct? Same gospel. He didn't preach over to this people and then preach right there in the same church to the other side. The same word was preached. The same word, as well as them. Let's read. But the word preached did not profit them. The word of God is all we need. How did it not? Why did it not profit some of them? The word preached did not profit them. Not being mixed. I almost paused there. I think I made it. I'm trying to fill my spirit. Someone used an illustration I don't want nobody to think about yesterday. But some people used to go to bars and say, give me my shot straight. Y'all don't hear me. Okay, I'm moving. Y'all got it. Somebody got it. Some people need it mixed. Maybe for the taste. Maybe to fit their desires. The word of God is not like that. Oh, straight is even better, but it has to be mixed. There's no need of learning every scripture in the Bible and not mixing it. It's like telling somebody, oh, I think mine's straight. What do you mean by that? Oh, I know the word. Okay. You have to mix it. Because you know the word doesn't mean you're going to produce what you're trying. It has to be mixed. Okay. And if you don't have the mix, there's no need of trying to learn all the words. It has to mix with something. Not being mixed, what did I say? With faith. Hallelujah. If without faith, hearing the word will not profit you. Might make you feel good for a little while. You're not going to get the best of God. You're not going to get the blessings of God. It has to be mixed with faith. From that hearing. It settles you. It roots you. It grounds you. I'm going to read one more verse and leave it alone. But we which have believed do enter into the rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath if they shall enter in. See? God was angry. Hallelujah. Because what he knew was to come. Prophetic utterance from God. He said, if they should enter in. Now why? He knew a whole generation wasn't going to. In his wrath, he said it. Meaning, don't expect Okay. Woo! Too much more help. God has given us enough help to produce faith. We first read that last verse. Watch. That's a prophetic verse. Watch what he said. He said, I pour my wrath. If they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the earth, God has given us enough. How about the avocado? Now, time for us to produce it, to use it, to work it. I don't want to say this last one, but say it because there's another scripture down the road. Time for us to understand the importance of faith. It's not something you can choose to have or not. It's not something you can use at times or not. It's essential to your relationship with God. It is the instruction in God. If you don't produce your faith, you're wasting your time. Do you understand that God said when Jesus comes back, will he find faith? He's not looking for your good deeds. He's not looking for how strong you got, how your life came. That was when he came before on earth. I pray God you know that he's not coming all the way back down here again. He sure ain't coming for judgment. He didn't come for judgment the last time. The Bible declares God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He came full of grace and truth. He didn't come with the truth first, but the truth was we were ousted and he still died. He didn't, a lot of people think he coming back to judge everybody. No, he didn't come to judge the first time. He's not coming to judge you the second time. He's not coming to earth. He's coming to connect in the air. How about CA? You're going to need faith to connect. Well, Bishop, what are you saying? We're not being judged. Yeah. You being judged. Every day you live here on earth, you building your own case. The word is here, and he's not have to judge. The word of God is the judge. And you can build what you want. But if your earthly house of this tabernacle was dissolved, we have a building of God made not by hands, eternal in the heavens. That's the house we need to be working on. Because God ain't going to say anything to you. You can build what you want. You can act like you want. You can walk how you want. You can have faith when you want. Hallelujah. Because he's not going to give us any more instructions except within the book and personal fellowship. Now you're walking by faith. Oh, he'll need it, God. That's what the Holy Ghost for. He'll give you personal instruction. He'll tell you left or right. The blueprint is already here. You know, everybody's saying, you know, basic instruction. Hallelujah. Before leaving earth. Oh, it is. Even though that's not what Bible means, but that's really good. Everybody says that. Hallelujah. So, the word is not working for some people. Don't matter how rich you go to church, is it producing faith? Or you just learn the scripture to fight somebody with. Or let somebody know you changed to be mixed with faith. Let us move on for the sake of time. Glory to God. I want to look at Hebrews chapter 11. Yeah, Hebrews. The book of better is called. You know why? Better relationship. Better promise. Christ better than the angels. Better promises. You got to really take a look at that someday and see how much better is in the book of Hebrews. That's why it's called the book of better. In Hebrews 11 and 1, it says, now faith is a lot of end-time preachers magnify the now. It's really not magnified at all because they're not talking about per se, a time period. See, if you're not careful and you take that now faith, you're teaching it wrong because you'll start thinking it's something on and off. Now faith, right now. I heard preachers say, right now faith, now faith, now faith. That now ain't supposed to be magnetized like that. He's saying now faith is. Habosaka. It's letting revelation. It's a revelatory comment. He's not talking about, oh, now faith. You need to have faith right now. Oh, yeah. Oh, I heard a preach so many different ways. That's not what Habosaka he's saying. He's saying now faith is. Proper punctuation will give you the revelation. He said, now faith is the substance. Now faith is the substance. That if you're not careful, that now will take away from faith is the substance. Man, this is what God was showing me. Why a lot of us is not operating the faith. Because faith is the substance. This is matter, anything that holds weight. People preach saying, and substance is what we have been applying our faith to. For generations, we've been taught, apply your faith to your child. Anoint his bedroom when he ain't there. Apply your faith to a new job. Write it down. Put it in your Bible. Apply your faith to this. Apply your faith to that. Catch this, champion. You have made what you are applying it to the substance. Oh, God, please give revelation to the people of God. You are, so long we've been making Habashie. What we're believing God for, what we believe in him to do, we have been making that the substance. Yeah. Put oil in his food, your husband. Anoint his pillow. Now all of a sudden the pillow is the substance. Hear me close, child of God. Yes, faith can be applied and directed. But whatever you're directing it to, you cannot make it the substance. I'm going to make it real clear in a second. Because faith is the substance. Bishop, what you saying tonight? Oh, somebody gonna get the revelation. Meaning, the power, the answer, the force, the spirit. When you try to make a car you want, the substance, you taking the spiritual world, trying to make something in the natural world more substance than, somebody got to stay with me, more substance than the spirit. Faith connects us to God. So how would you pray for a job and try to evaluate the job you want? Evaluate your credit chain. You put more energy, more life to what you praying for. How about CK? When all you got to do is know that faith is the substance. Oh, come on, you missing it. Hallelujah. Faith is the substance, is the instruction. You can move a mountain with faith. But the mountain can't become the substance. Faith is the substance. And faith can be applied. You got to make sure, glory to God, I'm using faith to move it. I ain't even looking too much at what I'm sending the faith to. I'm going to send the faith, and the job won't get done. I'm not looking at the job needed to be done, because I would be making that the substance. Okay, I say, God, I guess whoever don't understand it, God, my prayer right now, hallelujah, Jesus, is that they chew on it. Chew on it. Good God Almighty, and in their own time, let them understand Because we start thinking we need different measures of faith for different problems, different situations. Getting the different situations and problems the substance. How about CA? Faith is the substance. And it handles any problem, any situation, anything in your spirit you're sending it to. How about CA? It doesn't matter. Because it's faith. How about that's the substance of things hoped for, meaning wherever you send it. Can't worry about where you're sending it. We pay more attention to where we're applying the faith than faith. How about CA? When faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of it is that it's in the spirit, not faith. Do you think God seen trees and everything else before he spoke them into existence? Do you think he seen anything before he spoke it? No, he used substance. Come on, somebody. Let me move forward. I'm running out of time. I got a lot to cover. Children of God. Hallelujah. We got to understand. Faith is the substance. And that's all you need. And send it. Speak it. That's what applies it and conquers it. What you're trying to pray for, okay. I'm believing God for this. I'm believing God for that. No, that is your substance. How about Shia? Just believe God. Watch him work. Stop looking at things and making it the substance, because it's not. Faith is the substance. That's why we have to learn to operate it. 1 John chapter 5, watch this. Watch this, 1 John chapter 5 says, whosoever believeth, see, whosoever believeth, it's all about belief. You have to believe God. Watch what he said. Whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him, that begot loveth him, also that is begotten of him. Watch, I just want to go down to about the third verse. Watch. By this, we know that we love God, and that we are the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Watch this. Verse 3. It's my verse. For this is, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. I'm going to go down a little further. I want to read too long, because I got to save time. But what he's ready to say is, glory to God, that we, by this, we know. He said, and this is the victory. This is the victory. This is what we're striving for. That overcomes the world. Watch what he's saying. Even our faith. See? This is the victory that overcomes the world. Verse 5. He that overcome the world. Who is he that overcome the world? But he that believeth that Christ is the Son of God. That he came by the world. See, I got time to go through. But I want to magnify that verse. That this is the victory. You've got to get to the place of faith. He said, that's the victory, even our faith. And the word even right there is italicized, meaning that it doesn't go there. So he's saying, this is the victory, our faith. If you don't have faith, you don't have victory. I got to move. I'm moving too fast. Praise God, I want to put so much out there where you can't chew it. I don't want nobody choking. Come on. I'm going to take a sip of water because we got some more to go. I got 10 more minutes, 9 more minutes. It's going to be tough. I got to move faster. Let's go, people. God, watch. Faith, I want to let you know what he's trying to let us know is that faith is an action word. Faith is an action word. Why? Because faith is alive. It's alive. Well, how can faith be alive? Because it's an action word. And what? Jesus is the word. Jesus ain't dead. Faith come by hearing the word, which is Jesus. So when you put Jesus inside of you, there's action. Okay, all right, let me go fast. There's action. Your faith can't be dead. When you hear in the word, you put Jesus inside of you. See? You put Jesus inside your body. That's what produces faith. Because it's an action word. It's a power. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to pierce asunder. It's dividing the soul and the spirit, the joint and the marrow. Discerning of thoughts, intent of the heart. The word is quick. That word quick means it's alive. Faith ain't dead. Faith ain't something you call when you need it. It's a life inside of you. A lot of us is living defeated lives because our faith is dead. How about CA? When we get in a situation, now we want to kick faith in. When we get scared, we want to kick faith in. No, child of God. That thing got to be living in you every day of your life. Even when you're doing wrong, you got to have faith. He told Peter that your faith tell you not. I'm not talking about your religion. I'm not talking about your level. I'm talking about your faith tonight. See? Even your faith is the victory. That's why we have to walk by sight. We have to walk by faith, not by sight. Paul said, you say you have faith. Without work, he said, but faith without work is dead. But see, faith is supposed to be alive. It's a life. Produces. You get that word inside of you, it's alive. But what he's saying is if you got faith and have no life to it, are you not living the life of it? I'm not saying, glory to God, that it don't slip. We read Hebrews 2. Anytime you might slip, but your faith will catch you. Performing. Your faith will get more and more. You'll start speaking to mountains. You start healing people. Come on, somebody. You start learning to wait on God. You start believing him. Oh, yeah, your faith going to be tried. Oh, your faith will be tried. Peter says, if need be for a season, you be in heaviness. Because the trying of your faith is precious. Even gold has been tried by the fire. Your faith must have fight. How about CA? I'm running out of time. Your faith may have some fights, situations, some battles that, yeah, it'll scare you. But if you keep looking at what you're going through as the substance, rather than your faith being the substance, you're yielding the battle. You're quitting because you're looking at the situation. You're looking at what you got to put faith toward, what you got to put faith to. No, that ain't how faith works. When you say it the way I'm saying it, hear the way I'm saying it, you're making, well, some people say if your problem is too big, your God is too small. That's the same thing I'm saying. You can't look at what you are applying to faith or asking God to do through faith. You can't look at that more than you looking at faith. But now you're behind the eight ball. You be trying to say, oh, do I got enough faith for this? I got enough. I believe God for this. Now all of a sudden your faith's trying to catch up to what you're trying to apply it to. When your faith is it, you got to believe. All things are possible. Hallelujah. To him that believe. Don't worry about what you're applying it to. Just believe your faith. Believe your God. We have to walk by faith. And what faith will cause you to walk straight. the more you get inside of you, the more you get Jesus inside of you, it'll change your walk. Oh, yes, it will. It changed Abraham's walk. Romans chapter 4, someone look over at that. It changed Abraham's walk. With your walk like a drunk man. You'll be all over the place. But it was Abraham's faith when he heard God say, I'm going to give you a son. You're going to be the father of many nations. It was his faith that had him walk right into it. Do you know you can walk right into some things by faith? You can walk right through some things by faith. You can walk right past some things by faith. Did Abraham walk? Watch what faith did to Abraham's walk. Look at me, bring it down, 28, 27, let me see. Romans chapter 4, look. Okay, that's what I want right there, 27. Watch what it says about him. Watch what it says about him. Glory to God. I want, let me see, that's what I want. Because I'm out of time. 4:27 says, let me get down to it. Oh, see, I'm running out of time. I'm going to do verse 20. Watch. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Unbelief will change your walk. Unbelief will get you scared. Unbelief will make you handle situations differently. Unbelief will make you, oh, bullshit, God. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. Got to be strong in faith. Watch. He was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Good God Almighty. Faith will get you steadfast and unmovable. Faith won't let nobody make you change your mind, go to God, and not believe God at his word. Good God Almighty. He said through unbelief. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Why? Giving glory to God. Watch. Giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. I want to let you know tonight, he's able. You just got to do it his way. Anything he wrote, he's able to perform it. Anything he said, he's able to perform it. Anything you need, he's able to perform it. Whatever situation you're in, he's able to perform it. Don't look at it. Just look at faith. Hallelujah. Just believe God. I'm a little over time tonight. To God be the glory. I want you to write this scripture down. Take it home with you. 2 Peter 1 and 5. And we out the door. Glory be to God, champions, tonight. Come on, come on. Faith, hallelujah, is stronger than anything you'll ever come up against. You just have to believe God. I will keep thee in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on him. I want the second letter to Peter, the first chapter. Watch this, and I'm moving out of the way. Look at verse 20 with me. Yeah. Knowing this first. No, that ain't what I want. That ain't what I want. Wait a minute. You got to know, too. I'm going back up. I'm too far. Okay, go to verse 5. Okay? Watch this. And besides this, given all diligence, that means you got to try. You got to apply. You got to put some effort to. Verse 5. 2 Peter 1, 5. And besides this, given all diligence, add to your faith. Don't you get stuck at the measure that he drew you with. Hallelujah. The measure that he drew you with. That was just to get you there. Now it's time to add to your faith. There's a long list there. I want to get to the end of the list. Let me read right through it. Maybe it just might help somebody. Thank you, Jesus. I need 2 more minutes. Add to your faith, virtue. Add to the virtue, knowledge. Add to the knowledge, temperance. Add to the temperance, patience. Add to the patience, godliness. The godliness, brotherly kindness. Add to brotherly kindness, charity. It's my verse right here. And if these things be in you and abound, they make you. You don't have to do it yourself. Hallelujah. If you add these to your faith, they make you. That ye shall neither be barren. That means you're going to produce fruit. Nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior. Captain, I thank you tonight for tuning in. Pray, God, that you got something out of the word tonight. If we've been a blessing to you, go to MCI, Blog Talk Radio. Look up Bishop Butler, Bishop Freeman Butler, Facebook. You can contact us, 1921 Darbytown Road, in Rike Oak, Virginia. Amen. $ Bishop, B-E-E, 42. Sow a seed. We're laboring and we're giving you something good. Don't let it just leave your spirit. Show God that you received the word. Because if it's in the word, it's undisputed. And I'm Bishop Thurman A. Butler of Undisputed Truth Ministries. Tune in tomorrow, 6 o'clock. Ooh, Wednesday. A weekly word workout with my lovely wife behind me. And come throughout the week because it's awesome words. God bless you. We love you. Have a good evening.